Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday we were shaking the Monday morning blues with the Due Time crew. And our relationship conversation was things that a woman should stop doing by the third month of the relationship. Now, when I saw this, I got to thinking about some things, but I have to tell you, I did not see any of those things on my list. But one of the things they talked about was don't be so indecisive. By the time 3 months rolls around, now that they figure, well, you know what? You should have a pretty good idea about, you know, what you want, what you like to see, what you don't want, what you don't want to see, what you don't want to put up with. And, you know, I think you need to be pretty mild. Yeah, you know, it's still only the third month. So, you know, sometimes things, based on who you're dealing with, needs a little more time to kind of fester. Okay? They say it's okay to put away the makeup. You know, the Due Time crew says, 3 months. They want to see what's going on with makeup before 3 months. They don't want the ugly to come out at the 3 month mark. Yeah. You know, they want to see, you know, or at least want you to show, so you should show what you look like nice and early in the relationship. Okay? Well, there was another one that was quite interesting. Balance the amount of effort you put into the relationship. Now, wow. This one was deep. This one was kind of deep. You know, balance the amount of time, amount of effort you put into the relationship. Now, I don't know about this one. I don't quite know if I'm agreeing with the 3 month benchmark on this one. You know, sometimes, you know, things take a little bit more time. Yeah. I guess it depends on effort in what area. Yeah, because, you know, you just can't, for me, in my brain, you know, you just can't automatically stop doing some things, you know, putting in effort into certain things. Again, you know, based on who you're talking about and based on who you are. Based on who you are, you know, you can't always stop at 3 months. at 3 months, you know, based on how often you've seen one another and how often you've spoken, you may have to take a little more time with that one, okay? And don't hesitate to question your partner's decisions. Now, that's another one that might take a little more time. You just don't know. Yeah. So, you know, those are just a couple of areas that they say the women need to address a little differently once it gets to 3 months. So, you know, I guess every relationship based on, you know, how it's going and what you're doing and what you're not doing, you know, it may take a little bit longer, but, you know, pretty much that's a good idea. Pretty much a good idea. All right. Well, Mondays would not be the same if we did not finish with a switch tip for the week. And the switch tip for the week was, don't fall in love with convenience. And, you know, a lot of times, it's not until Tuesday morning that the switch tip has marinated long enough for me to think of some things of my own. And, you know, these last few switch tips have been like, yo, wow. You know, so don't fall in love with convenience. To me, takes an entirely different turn and meaning today. You know, there were going to be some things that you really work at. I mean, really, really work at and work for. And, you know, it may seem like it's coming easy. It may seem like it's convenient. It may seem like, you know, I've done all the work that I need to do, or my work needs to stop here, or, you know, this is coming a little more easy than other things. And nah, you're going to have to be on your A game, you know. I'm sorry. You know, when I look at the way the world is shifting and what the enemy is putting out there, we don't have to do some work. It's not going to be as convenient as we think. We are not going to be able to settle for things being easy. We're not going to be able to look at some things and, you know, see that, you know, we're at the finish line already, or we don't have as much to do. You know, I know someone who's looking for a job right now, and they feel like, you know, they're just jumping through hoops every time they turn around. It's something else that they're being required to do. There's something else that being asked of them when, you know, they thought they was finished. And as soon as they finish, then, you know, the people of, you know, HR is reaching out for just that one extra thing. And, you know, years ago people used to say, you know, good things come to those who wait, you know, stuff like that, little things like that. And I think about this particular situation here where I'm tired of, you know, going through all of this stuff to get this job. I'm working already before I get the job. You know, they got me working already. I hope this is not what the job is going to be like. And at first I didn't say anything. You know, I'm God has got me talking a lot less to the people that I've been speaking to. And I was like, wow. You know, just listening to what the person was saying, like, you know, I don't understand why they just couldn't tell me this all at once. That's not right. I hope that's not what the job is going to be like. And I listened. And I realized that God has got me doing a little more listening before I speak. And finally I said to the person, I said, you know what? Maybe this is God's way of asking, how badly do you want the job? You know, are you going to complain? You've been asking for a job. Are you going to complain your way through the process? Whoa, that was just big right there. That hit me more now than it did when I said it, when I asked the person. Are you going to complain through the process? Ouch. Always let's talk about it Tuesday. We getting started early. You asked God for something. Are you going to that one hit me this morning. Whoa, I'm telling you, it didn't hit me as much as when I asked the question initially. You asked God for something. And now you're going to complain about or through the process? Wow. Let me tell you something. When we ask God for something, keep your mouth closed when you have to jump through the hoops. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you're complaining now, before you get this job, I promise you, you're going to be complaining later. Every little thing that they describe to you now, if they ask you anything, once you get the job that they didn't tell you you would be doing, you're going to be complaining. You're going to be complaining. Yeah, you will. Because if you're complaining through the process, you're going to complain later. You know, they used to say, you know, have this thing years ago, not my job. Not my job. And that would happen because not my job. Anytime someone would come and ask you to do something that you felt was not in your job description. And I learned, you know, yes, they may ask you to do things that's not in your job description. Things may not look like I'm going to have to do this thing. This may seem like something completely outside of what it is that I'm doing. And I wasn't hired to be the janitor. I know the janitor might be out sick and that garbage ain't been cleaned up, but listen, I'm a salesperson. Hire somebody, find somebody to empty the garbage. And, you know, sometimes and a lot of times, they're watching. Most times they're watching your attitude, the way you do things that, you know, or when you're not quote unquote required to do and your attitude. Well, guess what? God is watching that as well. And what would happen is, you know, when it was time for review and raise time, he would remember that, you know what? Guess what? He remembered when you cleaned, you know, the garbage can, when we actually changed the garbage bag and you did. Maybe they give you something a little extra for it. And you weren't forgotten. Well, that's God. That's God. God said, don't take the easy way. Don't take the convenient way. I may have you work a little bit harder to get the job, but yes, require you to do some things that you were not anticipating doing. Asking you to just take it a little slower. Watch for a couple of extra things. And I know it's going to cause you to have to slow down. I know it's going to cause you to, you know, just change your attitude a little bit. But I'm watching. I'm watching. I'm watching your attitude and your demeanor while you're doing all of these things. And I'm going to reward you. I'm going to reward you greatly. But I need to watch you during the process. Ooh. Have you fallen in love with convenience? Have you fallen in love with this being quote-unquote ready and ready-made? Or are you going to do what is required? Are you going to be upset when I ask you to shift gear a little bit? And that's what I was asking the person the other day about the job. And I was like, do you feel, do you feel like it's worth it? Do you feel like this job is going to render you everything you're looking for in a job? Meaning, are the benefits there? You know, the little perks that they offer? You know, come on. Come on. Let's get it together. At the end of the day, are you going to feel as though it's worth the little extra stuff you have to do during the process of applying for the job, getting the job? Yeah. Stop complaining. Just do what the people ask you to do. Right now, you don't have a job. So whatever they ask you to do, just do it. Just do it. Sure. And watch how it blesses you in that way. And when I say it, I mean your attitude. You know, we talked the other day about gratitude when we prayed. That was our topic, gratitude. And I don't really think a lot of us understand what gratitude is. Yeah. You know, when God is trying to stretch us and God is trying to grow us, yes, I'm watching a whole lot of complaining going on. I'm watching a whole lot of, you know, squirming in your chair because it is not the way you think it should be. It's not, you know, the process is not quite what you signed up for. You didn't think that it would require all of this. You thought that what you see is what you get. I didn't work up to this point. I'm at my finish line, and that's as far as I want to go. You told me at this point I would be finished. That's all I needed to do. And I, as I was talking to the person, I said, you know what? I said, that's the way you handle your life. Oh, yes, an unstable man is unstable in all his ways. I always tell people, whatever you're going through right now, that's what's going on with you in all of your life. So when they were complaining about the extra process that needed to happen and take place before they could get the job, I actually started thinking about some other things we talked about and other things that, you know, have gone on in their life and how they thought that that thing should have been finished and they didn't think that they should have to go any further in that area. And I said, remember when? And they were like, yeah, wow. I didn't think about it like that. I know you did. That's why you're talking to Pastor Steph. That's why you're talking to me. Because I am thinking about it. I didn't ask you for this conversation. This is a conversation that we just had. And now God is, you know, nudging me to remind you of that. And I'm going to tell you something. Every time I have a conversation with a person and they have an issue with anything, I start thinking about their life. All that I've seen, all that I've heard, a fearful person is fearful everywhere you could touch. Everywhere you could touch. Oh, I was scared about this. Oh, I was worried about that. Oh, I was fearful of this. Yeah, and they don't realize it. They don't realize the consistency of fear in their life. But I promise you one thing. Every single thing that person was complaining about during this process of the job, I watched them. I watched them. And I started calling back some things. Do you remember when? And they were like, wow, you know, I never even thought about it. I was like, I know. I said, it's time for these things to be revealed in your life. Because God is not unmindful of the things we need to increase in our life, things that need to get better in our life. And he's going to use anything. He can use anything to help you understand the inconsistencies in your life. It ain't the end of the world unless you fight God during the process. Let me tell you something. When you fight God during the process, you don't want God to get to the point where he shuts the whole thing down. Oh, wow. 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 Who am I talking to out there? You know, for this instance, it was a person with a job. But I noticed when God wakes me up on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or a Friday, or a Saturday, and he starts me to talking like this, somebody needs to hear this thing here. And I'm not talking about somebody who's going to listen to this next week. I'm talking about somebody who's going to listen to this, you know, who's listening to this now. Somebody needs to ask themselves, am I complaining? As a matter of fact, everybody needs to ask themselves right now, am I on the path of something and I'm complaining through the process? Am I complaining during the process? Is this something, something I just don't want to do? Something that's just not making me comfortable? Something that, you know, I didn't think I would have to face or do or feel or see or say or, yeah. Somebody needs to hear this now. Anytime God takes my little 7-minute, 8-minute, 10-minute recap and turns it into a half hour, something needs to be said to somebody who's listening now. So I need all of you who are listening to think about what's going on in your life right now. Is it a job? Is it on your job? Are they asking you to do something on your job and you're like, you know what? I don't feel like I should be doing this. Why are they asking me to do this thing? You know what? God is stretching you. He's stretching you for more than you think. Yeah, it's not just stretching you there, but he's stretching you here so that other areas of your life would be affected. Yes. Yeah. 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 Not just about that job. What other area in your life needs to be stretched? Or you need to be stretched in? Because you're not being stretched for today. Oh, no. You're being stretched for something that comes up. Yeah. And we don't know how soon that is going to be. So when we fall in love with convenience, we don't get the blessing of life that we need to. We don't get the bonus out of life, the bonus days out of life that we should. We don't get the bonuses out of life that's going to help us and prepare us for tomorrow. So when things pop up, we're not going to be ready. We're not going to be ready. We're not going to be ready. And that's what I was saying to the person about the job. I said, listen, look at all the stuff that you're required to do. When you thought you got to the finish line and you should be high right now, oh, they told me 3 weeks. But here it is, I'm in the third week, and they still got me jumping through hoops. Jump through the hoops. If you feel the job is worth it, then jump through the hoops. Do you want to go this full distance and not jump through the hoops and lose everything that you worked so hard for? Do you want to go through the process and now you have gotten to this point and now of what God has had you do? Because again, right now you're looking at the job. But later on down the line, boy, oh boy, oh boy, how sweet it's going to be for you to be prepared. Oh, for that thing that's coming up, I promise you, if God is requiring you to do something now and you quit, you will not be ready for a tomorrow that's coming up that you're going to have to face something and you're going to be standing there looking just as stupid as the day is long. And all God is going to look and say, I tried to prepare you for this. What you going to do then? What you going to do then? I said, you know what? Take it. Take it. Because I have seen so many times how it's a benefit. And you can look back and say, wow. When I went through that, that helped me here. I think about the fact that I was in an abusive relationship. And at the time, it was safe to say that I was pretty much a punk because I didn't have the strength. I'm talking about Stephanie. I didn't have the courage to stand up for myself. I don't know why. I don't know why. I can't speak to that yet. Sometimes things are just not as clear. But what I do know is when I got out of it, when I had the strength to get out of that relationship, it put me on a path of no return. It prepared me to have the courage that I need now to stand up for God. I don't back down for nothing and nobody. Once the Lord gives me an assignment, there is nothing I step back for. I don't care how strong you come. I don't care how much you jump up and down and you pout, you cry, you slam on the floor and you don't like what I have to say. And listen, if the word of God is giving it to me, I'm going to give it to the masses, excuse me. I'm going to give it to whoever God has it for. If it's from the pulpit, if it's individual, it don't matter. It was that experience that fortified me for what God would ultimately call me to do. I can't be no weeping willow, because everybody who God sends to me, they've already been through some major challenges of life. And they've already bullied people and thought that they won. They've already bullied people and quote unquote stood up to people and figured they were right, because the person is not in their face anymore. And I've had to tell them, many, you thought you won the fight, you actually lost. Because where that person was designed to be a blessing, where that thing was designed to be a blessing, and you fought against it and walked off, you lost. Because that person still has what they have, and they have moved on. And when I say moved on, I mean they've elevated. You're the person sitting here deficient. And as they're talking, I'm looking at the deficiency. And you have passed by a blessing over and over and over again because of who you are, what you're accustomed to doing, and you thinking you won. Well, guess what? The buck stops here. Because if the word of God is giving it to me in scripture, if the word of God is given to me in word, audible words into my ear, if the spirit of the Lord is telling me to do something and I'm looking at something with my own two eyes and I see it for myself and it helps to give me the strength. But if once God gives it to me in word, audible word or scripture word, I'm going to be able to see it. He's got to show it to me. He's got to show it to me in my eyes. And the one thing I will never do is speak out when I don't know what's going on. If I'm unsure about something, I'm not going to say nothing. Mm-mm. I'm not like that. I come from a mother who talked, cussed you out, said what she had to say. She didn't care whether, you know, later on she was going to be wrong, but she's going to just set you straight right now. Mm-mm. I'm a little different. I watch. Before I open up my mouth, I'm watching. I'm watching. So by the time God says something to me, I'm already there. I'm already prepared to get the word. Either I've been watching it and the Lord comes back and tells it to me, or I get it and as soon as God gives it to me, he then gives me the vision for it. I see it. So when the person was talking to me about the job, because I've been speaking to the person long enough and I've been listening to them long enough and I've watched them long enough, I was able to help to call out, okay, you jump through hoops for the, you know, for the job and you're getting tired. Don't get tired now. Because let me tell you something. Everything that you have to do, that's going to help to fortify you. God is helping to prepare you for your tomorrow. If you don't strengthen yourself now, if you don't prepare yourself now, then you ain't going to make it later. Do it now. Do it when God presents you with the time to do it. Because if you don't, later on down the line, something is going to be presented to you that you should pass, and it should be easy to just walk straight through that door, but you're not going to be able to make it. Because back a year ago, when God was trying to prepare you for it, you thought it was too much. You thought it's something that you shouldn't have to do. You thought that, you know, it's, you're taking me through this extra process. I don't want to go through this. Well, guess who's going to be on the losing end? And let me help you understand something as you're listening to me today. You don't even understand how many times you've lost. Lost. How many times you've lost? but because you think you're the winner. And that's how you can always tell. Pay attention. Pay attention to God. How many times has God tried to prepare you for something and you walked off from it? How many times have you worked at something that God ain't have nothing to do with? But yet when God wants you to do something, you throw your hands up. I don't want to be bothered with that. I don't feel that's for me. I don't feel like I want to do that. Nah. Just like I was telling this person about the job, you fill in the blank with whatever it is going on with you. And I've seen it. I've seen the losers, and I've seen the winners. I've seen the losers, and I've seen the winners. I've seen the losers, and I've seen the winners. Which side you going to be on? Which side of the fence are you going to be on? Are you going to be on the winning side? Or are you going to be on the losing side? Well, I'm very happy to say that the job application process, their attitude was different, and they were preparing, and they said that as time was going on, they felt better and better and better, and were so glad that they did have to go through that, because they did, when they thought about it, and they prayed about it, they did realize that it was God preparing them. And if God is preparing me for something, who am I to toss it back in the basket after I ask God for this job? I do feel like this job is worth it. And if they want me to do an extra couple of things, then you know what? I'm going to do the extra couple of things. Amen. 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 And amen. So, for those of you who are listening, I need you to take account for all the things that you don't want to do, all what the process requires. And give God that. Show that gratitude. Show God that you appreciate him in everything he says and does in your life. Don't settle. Don't fall in love. Don't fall in love with the wrong thing. All right? Don't fall in love with the convenience of it all. It's supposed to be this easy. Who's saying? Who's saying? Who's saying it's supposed to be that easy? You know, a lot of times we have to think about something, and I'm going to say this in my wrap-up. You know, when we ask God for something, because God should say no, he shifts it to extending the process. Now, would you rather the no, or would you rather extend the process? Would you rather be preparing for more areas in your life? I said, let me kill several birds with this one stone. Let me take this one pebble and knock this Goliath down. Yeah. Is that what we're going to do? We're going to let God do that thing in our life? Or are we going to let God take care of several things in our life by extending the process? Or are we going to let him tell us no? Because I'm going to tell you something. This is what I have to remind the person of. I said, don't mess up the process. Because if you mess up the process and God cuts this process short, or God throws a monkey wrench in the process, It's all your fault. It's all your fault. Sometimes God just wants to see that you are willing. Ooh. He wants to see that. He just wants to see that you're willing to be obedient. Are you willing to be obedient? Are you willing to go through that process that's been extended a little bit longer? Or, you know, just toughened? You know, oh, I thought I had to go for fingerprinting, but I didn't know I had to go to Jersey for the fingerprinting, and I live in Pennsylvania. Are you going to make the trip to New Jersey for the fingerprinting? Are you going to just wind through process? It's too far. I can understand if they wanted me to go to downtown city. But they want me to go over to Jersey? Would you rather God just tell you no altogether? Because he could do that. So I think a lot of times we don't think about stuff like that. We don't think about the fact that God could just simply say no. Instead, he just extends that process. He says, because you asked me, I'll say yes. But here's what I need you to do. Because if I grant it the way it is, the way you are, it's not going to help you more. It's not going to benefit you more. But if you do it this way, then, you could see my blessings across the table. You could see how I've worked this thing out. The Bible tells us, all things work out for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Now, here's the problem. If you want to dictate the process, it negates that entire verse. It negates everything. His purpose is to fix everything about you. But you have to position yourself to be fixed. Don't fall in love with me. Because you get nothing out of it. You get nothing out of it. You get very, very, very little. You get the bare minimum. And you know what? Once Jesus said, I didn't come to just give you life. I came to give you life more abundantly. Oh, there you go. There you go. That took you from just that little bit to that much. To much is given. Much is required. You want this job? That's the much that has been given. Now, the much has been required to get the job. You think I'm going to give you some abundance and all you got to come with is your little measly at least? Man, you about to blow this thing. You about to blow this thing. Because all God said sometimes is, all I need you to do is just show me. That's how he took Abraham up to the mount with his son. All he had to do was show God he was willing to give up Isaac. God's always got that ram in the bush. All I need to see is that you're going to take my word for it and go that extra distance. And once you do, no, you got it. But if we complain and whine and throw out the baby with the bathwater, well, you can kick that job goodbye. And the job could be anything. You know, for this person, the job was a job at this location, was employment. But how many times is God employing us to do what we need to do? But we dropping the ball during the process. But yet we want We want God to bless. We want God to give. We want God to fix. It's going to take a little bit of your work. I look at all the things that I had to do on my job that I wasn't hired to do. But I look at how it blessed me later. Yep. I look at how I wanted to be paid more. I should have been paid more. But I look at all the blessings that came with me on, you know, that came for me on that job that you couldn't pay me for. That money couldn't buy. Money couldn't buy convenience. Money couldn't buy the fact that, hey, you know what? I can get up and come to work at 6 o'clock in the morning and leave at 2 o'clock, and my day is done. I had that level of flexibility that I could call and say, I need to come in late. I'll stay late. Or I just did it. I didn't even have to call. I just arrived. Or I got there at 6 o'clock, and when the boss came in, I said, here's the deal. You can't pay for that. No amount of money. They could have paid me. That would have blessed me like that. And maybe had they given me the money, I wouldn't have had those perks. And I preferred those perks because I needed those perks and never realized that I would need those perks. And God told me no on the money. He told me no on the money. He didn't tell me audibly no, but I didn't get the money that anybody else would have been getting. All I was looking at was the dollars until God showed me, here's what I'm giving you in exchange for the dollar. So don't blow your blessing. Don't blow your blessing. Don't complain through the process because you've fallen in love with the convenience of it all. How everything is quote unquote, oh, everything is falling into place. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the way the enemy wants you to look at it. But when God speaks up and he's shown you that everything is falling into place, he's now saying to you, here's what I need you to do because I've allowed it to fall in place. See, the enemy wants you to see that it's falling into place, and you're so busy focusing on the fact that it's falling into place, you feel like there's nothing else you have to do. It must be God. All of this stuff wouldn't come, you know, all into place if it wasn't God. Yeah. All good and perfect gifts come from the Lord. Well, guess what? Because God has situated these things so easily, you're not going to work for it because you're going to have to do some work over here. Are you willing to do the work over here to show God gratitude for what he did over here? Oh, my friends. That's your word for this morning. That's part of your Let's Talk About It Tuesday. We're going to take a little break right now. And we're going to go get that healthy breakfast that's been delayed a little bit. We're going to go tell somebody that it's time to pass Pastor Steph is on. And make sure you go nowhere because we'll be right back.
My grandmother had Alzheimer's. And I remember we were all in the hospital room, and for like 10 seconds she recognized who we were, and then it was gone. So it's like a thief. He's taking away memories and who you are as a person. Over 5.5 million Americans have Alzheimer's. That number may double by 2050. For more information, visit rightfocus.org.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. Y'all, God had an opening word. And amen, I've gotten, you know, some feedback. And you're welcome. You're welcome. Amen. Amen. You know, just got to do what God tells me to do. Say what God needs me to say. And like I said, the word is for whoever's listening. You know, put yourself in that spot. And make it happen. I'm going to do a couple of little stories before the 8 o'clock hour. And let's see if I can find something that we could talk about. All right. Here we go. All right. So, you know, we just got finished talking about a job and what God requires, you know, sometimes when you're applying for the job that you've been praying for. And the process of it all. So here you have a man in Missouri who goes into a bank and he wants to stick the bank up. He wants to rob the bank. And he writes a demand note. And he passes it to the teller. Well, see why I say you don't have a good enough plan? Why did he write the demand note on the back of his birth certificate? Wow! He was wearing an ankle bracelet that monitor for an earlier offense. Oh, gosh. You know, pulse bang, as my mother would say, pulse bang. So Mr. Michael Lloyd, 30, ended up pleading guilty to robbing a bank, Bank of America, to be more specific, so that he could prove a point to his lover. Now, they're still trying to figure out what this point is. So he ended up stealing $754 from the local Bank of America. Now, let's just even stop there. You going to jail for robbing a bank, and all you got was $754? Well, on the back of the birth certificate, he wrote, "Give me your money now. Don't say anything. I have a partner outside." So when he took the cash, he jumped in a car, in a black Dodge Ram pickup truck, and drove away. Now, his roommate alerted authorities. No, excuse me. The boyfriend of his roommate alerted the authorities after he did this, and that's how they were able to locate where he was and where he lived. So they say after he drove off, he saw the police cars responding to the robbery. He became scared, panicked. He threw the money and the birth certificate and ID, oh gosh, out the car. He then texted the roommate, to say that her truck was stolen and that she should listen to the police scanner. Oh gosh. Now at the same time, he had gotten in an argument with his, they say lover, whatever. And he robbed the bank to prove a point to the lover. Now, Nobody knows what the two of them were arguing about. And so what was the point? What was the point? So they say the investigators compared a previous photo to the surveillance photo at the bank. And that's how they found out when they paired it up with the location of his ankle monitor for the day. So he's about to spend possibly up to 6 years, I'm sorry, 20 years and a $250,000 fine. Now, I'm sorry. I want to know who dated him. Who was dating him when he didn't even have enough sense to write a decent demand note? What could you have shown me in a relationship that would have caused me to continue to see you when you couldn't even work your way out of this? Because if he wasn't smart enough, or let me put it in the reverse way, if he was dumb enough to go in the bank, write the demand note on the back of his birth certificate, and then when he panicked in the car, he threw out the money, the birth certificate, and his ID. What has he done in this relationship to keep you intrigued and continuing to date him? What? Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, there's another conversation. There's another news story that I want to talk about before we go to the crew and we get our Tuesday's conversation on. So, here in New York, they issued the first set of licenses for recreational weed. So there are recreational weed licenses. But y'all going to have to, I don't even know if y'all listen to the news, but are you ready? Here was the requirement. You had to have a legal business, ready? And you had to already have been convicted of some type of marijuana offense, or someone in your family. Yes. That was the requirement. So they say the licenses were approved by the Office of Cannabis Management. So people are actually making money because now this is an office. Okay? So now they gave out 36 permits in Harlem, including 28 to entrepreneurs and 8 to nonprofits. To be eligible, the licenses had to either have a pot, the licensees had to either have a pot conviction or be a family member of someone who had one and have owned a profitable business. They say 13 of the licenses were awarded to entrepreneurs with arrest records in the city, and state officials did not give the details on the recipients' past criminal records. They all had had their records expunged. So my question is, so when it's expunged, it's, part of it is not expunged. Because if it's expunged, that means it's supposed to be thrown out. So how would you know that these people had a criminal record regarding marijuana if the case had been, or records had been expunged? I'm so twisted here. Maybe I'm not picking up on something, so maybe when we speak to the Due Time crew, maybe they can help to clear it up for me, because that's not making sense. And they say that several times in the article. they say that, you know, the records have been expunged. And I said, well, if the records were expunged, then how is it that you knew that these people had a conviction? So that's what they did. And they said they had 900 applicants who had applied for these licenses. And they are still planning to award more than 100 more licenses to business owners who had been arrested for weed in the state. Now, here's the thing. All 5 boroughs are not included. All the boroughs are included except for Brooklyn, because they've got some legal dispute over licensing criteria. So none of these licenses were issued in Brooklyn. And if you were in upstate New York, parts of upstate New York was also excluded because they had some ongoing fights and legal disputes regarding this marijuana thing. But This is what we're looking at now. So now, you know, you've seen, we talked about this before, you see these people on the street with their trays, their TV trays, their tables, and they are opening, you know, or openly rather, you know, calling out to you, you know, hey, you want to buy some weed, you know, you want to buy some this, or you want to buy some that. And they address that in the article, and what they're saying is, there's no law. There's no hard written law that would allow police enforcement to bother them. Yeah. They say that the ones who have the stores, so, because Mayor Adams spoke about this earlier. So here was the problem he was having. So you open up a bodega. Let's say, I'm just using that for an example. You open up a bodega, and then when it became lawful, weed became lawful, they started selling weed out of the store. And he started saying, I'm going to fine all these people because you don't have a license for that. Because remember, you got to have a license for beer and alcohol, and you have to have a license for the lottery machine. So they're not making no money if they sell. You know, the state is not making any money. The federal government is not making any money if they just start selling weed. Mm-hmm. So they're saying, well, you know what? We want to give licenses first, and then we'll okay you to sell the weed. But if you don't have a store and you're selling weed out that store, we're going to fine you. Well, the fine print says that they cannot be fined unless someone observes them making the actual sale. Then they can be penalized. Man, when I tell you they have opened up Pandora's box, when they said it was fine to sell weed or it was fine to use weed and that was no longer unlawful, boy, have they opened up a can of worms. Wow. Well, let me talk to my due time crew here. Where's my Pastor Sean? Good morning, Pastor Charlotte.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you today?
I am well. Thank you. I am well. Sounds like you okay.
My sinuses is horrible. And I wasn't going to get on, but I figured you make that call. Can you hear me clear, though? I'm so congested.
I hear you clearly. Thank you for joining us and pressing your way. We appreciate it. What are we talking about with this Missouri bank robber? Is this a joke or what?
My reaction was, wow, he just wanted to go back to jail and get away from her. Because who is that crazy to put it, to use their own name on the other side of the paper, their birth certificate. So I thought of that. And I said, what a way of to show somebody that you love them. And then when you were saying who would date someone like that, somebody just like him. Because there's some women that's just like him that don't have enough sense either. So I just said he wanted to tell everybody that he robbed a bank when he go back in, because that's where he going. Don't ask me how much it was. He don't want nobody to tell him that it was only, what'd you say,
$700? $754. You going to jail, in a federal jail, for $754. You didn't even get, I mean, who goes to the bank and only comes out with $754?
Exactly.
You can
withdraw
that out of your personal account. What'd you say?
He did. He went to that personal bank. I said, it must have been, you know, when they, before they bring the money in. So he must have just got, just when they just opened, he was standing online waiting.
Yeah, because, I mean, you don't want to tell nobody you only got $754, because that's quite embarrassing. You are big.
Exactly.
Time and then you but throw that, your, huh?
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
You throw your. No, I was just going to say, it wasn't
about the.
Go. I'm sorry.
You throw your stuff out the window. You throw your stuff out the window. So not only did you throw the $754, you threw the birth certificate and your ID out the window as well. So it was all a bust.
And that's what I'm saying. You wanted to get caught. You didn't watch none of the bank robbers in the movies. You ain't watched none of them. You didn't figure none of that out. So you wanted to get caught. So that's what I thought of. Just to say I robbed a bank. Because people say, what you go to jail for? I robbed a bank. Oh, get out of here. Not how much you got. Oh, get out of here. I threw the money out the window. Why you do that?
What a dope. Mm-hmm. I tell you. A pure waste. All right, so we're talking about them giving up in Harlem, girl.
Mm-hmm.
Giving out 29 permits to people so that they can sell in their stores weed. You are literally giving out licenses now. You know, talk about making some money for your state. I don't know, Pastor Charlotte. Mm-hmm. Do you see this as something worse than them giving this out? But think about who they're giving it out to. You couldn't be a person who ain't never been arrested. You couldn't be a person who was arrested for robbing a bank. You could only have been arrested for selling weed previously, and you were convicted of it, and you had to have a legitimate business. Please help me understand what's going on here, because I'm a little lost. I don't know about you, but I'm a little lost.
Well, you know, sometimes when you go for a job, right, you got to have a job description that you have done it before.
A resume.
Right. So that's in their resume. I did it before, so I'm able to grant you to get your license. And you get a license, and you get a license, and you get a license. Because who didn't ever smoke? Well, some of us. Well, not me. did never smoke any weed. I have. Some people have not. So does that just give me the okay to be able to open up my business and to be able to have that, to sell it to whoever? Because you got to remember, when they selling this, they ain't asking how old you are, you know, and other people are able to come in and do it. So it doesn't matter. All they're thinking about is money. And I'm so tired of walking past them stores, and they out there. It's horrible. I don't know what the stuff they smoking. This stuff stinks so bad, and it lights up the whole street.
Exactly.
And they need to really shut it down. Because you know what I thought of? If you start in here, like we say, that is minor, right? And then you have the, like you said, the license of drinking. What's next? They're going to have a license for cocaine and everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? And you really can't say that they won't. You, in this world now, Pastor Charlotte, we can't say what they won't do. Oh, no, they would never do that. Nah, you don't know what the nevers will be. As they say, never say never. Never say never. Wow. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Let's get a hold of our Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, Pastor KL. How are you doing over there?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. So we're talking about this Missouri man who robbed the bank. You know, he wants to prove a point to his lover. $754 is all he busts out there with. He tells the roommate, after he steals her car, he tells her that somebody just stole her truck and she needs to listen to the police scanner. You could just tell this wasn't a plan when you wrote the demand note on your birth certificate. What is going on to
when you fail to plan, you plan to fail. There was no plan, none at all. None at all. I mean, listen, at this point, you knew you was going to jail. Try to stash the money because you're going to need something on your books, and you're going to need to pay that $250 fine. So you didn't even think about that aspect. You threw the money outside. Your birth certificate outside, it's like, I'm about to just leave popcorn outside as a trail so that you can find me. Please find me. I'm lost. You know, because that's all you did. You threw popcorn outside so that we can find your trail. He was not very bright. He wasn't very bright. And he might have missed that jail. You know, he might have missed the three squares, you know, saying the hot and cot. You know, all that stuff. I mean, you never knew what his living situation was. If he had to prove a point, and the only way you can prove a point is by robbing a bank, yeah, you got some issues going on.
Don't forget about the ankle bracelet. Don't forget about the ankle bracelet.
Yeah, I mean, you already are borrowed time, you know, because you had to rob the bank before 3:30. Otherwise, the ankle bracelet's going to ring. You know, so you just, I just don't understand.
Yeah, this was something that was done impromptu. I agree. You know, this was off the cuff because ain't no way in the world. You know how we always, one of my favorite types of movie, I love to watch movies about a bank heist or any kind of heist. I don't know. I love it. I think I like the planning of it all. And needless to say, you know, there was none of that going on. Like you
Listen,
said, there's no plan.
And, you know, sometimes when it comes to us, we're not that bright. Let's just admit it. We're not that bright in, you know, doing these heists. But they could have watched at least set it off three times. You know what I mean? Over and over again. Those women got some money. Now, they messed up at the end, but they got some money. You know what I mean? He could at least watch Set It Off a few times. You know, and Latifah had a lover. You know, Queen Latifah, she had a lover. So, I mean, it was all in that same realm. You know, get your lover involved. Let's do this together.
Oh, gosh. No, it's true. It's like all you had to do was watch a movie or two of all the, you know, the bank heists or the robberies or when they was going to rob the drug dealers or something. That's why I said, boy,
right.
Boy, did he miss out on all the free education that he didn't even have to watch a YouTube channel. All you had to do was get your popcorn and sit down and look at the movie and, like you said, study it. Because surely this was something
right.
that was off the cuff. He was not prepared. He just walked. He was driving, you know, somewhere. You know, he had an argument with the girlfriend earlier, and now he jumps out the roommate's, you know, truck, and he just goes to rob the bank. That's what happened. This wasn't even thought of the day before. So I don't know. Now, what about this weed thing? You know, here in New York, I don't know if they've done it in other states, but here in New York, they've definitely given out. They ain't even talking about doing it. They have done it already. And they, you know, they've given out 29 licenses. You've heard the criteria. And they're planning on giving out at least 100 more licenses. And they had 900 applicants. Wow.
You know, I'm still at myth. You know, I guess I've been out of the New York circuit for a while, but I can't imagine, you know, you're going to a flea market and they're selling weed. You know, I can't even fathom that. You know, you got the guy next to you, you got three card Molly. Somebody's selling sunglasses, and I'm selling weed. What happened to the guy who was just selling oil? We don't sell oil no more. Now we're selling weed? I mean, I'm just shouting out to the guys that there used to be a weed flavor oil that you could buy. Now they're actually selling the weed. And then what happens? Does the license, does it expire? You know, does it get revoked sometimes? And when you're selling it, do you have to sell it to people over 18, or just because you have the license, anybody can buy it? So Pookie can come down and buy it for grandma. I mean, what are the rules behind this thing? To me, that's totally ridiculous. I don't know. You know, back in the days, you know, I mean, way back in the days, grandmama used to send you to the store to buy a cigarette. And they didn't care how old you was. They knew you were 9. And they sold you the cigarette. So, I mean, are we doing that with weed?
Yeah, well, you talk about go to the flea market. All you got to do is go to the avenue. And all up and down the avenue, they got the trays. They've got a TV tray outside.
Wow.
And they sitting there.
You know,
I went to the discount store a couple of weeks ago. And outside of the discount store, he was just sitting there with his TV tray. And he's just rocking back and forth in the chair without a care in the world.
And then I heard Pastor Charlotte said you walk past these stores and you smell all that stuff. Listen, let me tell you something. Anything that smells like a bad bag of chitlins, I don't want to smoke.
Yeah,
and that's what some of this stuff smells like, a bad bag of chitlins. Surely you can't be getting high off of that.
Well, they getting high all right. They are getting high all right. They are getting high all right. And it's disgusting that they can light up anywhere. I'm telling you, he was just sitting there rocking back and forth. There was another guy I saw. He had a whole table, and he had different colored jars with different colored lids. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's out there. It's out, and it is so disrespectful. But again, you know, they are allowing these things, and I said to you, you know, hey, you can't, excuse me, you can't get around this stuff anymore. But I'm looking at this article here. It says the 5-member board So they've got this board that approves and works with all of this stuff here. They said the five-member board also unanimously approved 16 new cannabis cultivators and 8 processors and passed a slew of other resolutions approving regulations that laid the groundwork for weed delivery and banned vendors from advertising to New Yorkers under the age of 21. So there goes your age thing. So they did now, they approved 16 new cannabis cultivators. So you helping them. You helping them to be legal to even cultivate this stuff. Oh, my goodness gracious. Mm-hmm. This is a lot. And I'm at the point, I'm with Pastor Charlotte. I'm not able to even fathom them saying anything like what we won't approve, what we won't give licenses for. Because those licenses are coming out. Some licenses are coming out. Oh, thank you both for joining me for my news conversation. Well, we're talking about licenses. And I stumbled across an article last night, and here are some excuses, some licenses that church people feel they have for treating other people badly. Okay? These are the excuses, but I'm going to use the word license since that's what we're doing right now. As to why Christian people feel like they can mistreat people. Well, one of the top reasons we Christians are sinners too, I'm not perfect. Is that a reason why you should? Does that give you a license? That's the question I'm going to ask this morning. Does that give you a license to treat people mean and badly, Pastor Charlotte? Because
absolutely.
We are Christians too, and we are not perfect.
We are not perfect, but that does not give you the license, if you say use the word license, that it does not give you the license, the right for you to treat anyone badly, because you should want to treat your neighbor the way that you want to be treated. And that's what we see a lot of, because people in positions with license titles, is that's what they do. They feel that they could treat people. However, you cannot do that. The Lord does not allow that to happen. That's not good. Because every ditch you dig, you're going to be the one that falls in it too.
Ooh, Pastor KL. You know, they said, listen, Christians aren't perfect. We're human. And, you know, we make mistakes too. We're sinners. Oh, that gives you a license to treat people badly?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, though we are not perfect, and, you know, we are sinners as well, you know, you want to be treated, or you want to treat someone how you want to be treated. You know, so okay, I'm not perfect, but I want you to cuss me out. Because you're not perfect, so do I use the excuse, now that you hurt my feelings or now that you said the wrong thing to me, can I say, well, you know, you ain't perfect, so that's why they did it to me. My feelings are still hurt. You know, I've still been offended. And since you don't want to be offended, you shouldn't offend anybody else. That does not give us the right to be evil, even if we had a bad day. You know, a lot of times people say, well, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Well, what kind of bed you got? I mean, how when does it become the wrong side of the bed? You know, they say some stuff that it makes no sense, but we've been saying it so long, we use that as an excuse. You know, there is no wrong side of the bed if you're sleeping on it. So yeah, if you treat people how you want to be treated.
All right. Well, one of the other excuses they use is, well, It ain't illegal. Oh, my goodness gracious. Who are they talking to? Oh, Pastor Charlotte, does it give you the license to treat people badly because it isn't illegal?
I'm with them. Why, where you be fighting these folks, these things from? It's you of treating somebody badly. It's unlegal. It is unlegal because the Bible tells us that we're supposed to love one another. So, therefore, as Pastor KL said, treat somebody the way you want to be treated. But you know what I find? Even when we say that, some people don't mind of being treated bad. That's a nice way to put it. Because they don't know no better, and that's what they're around. Your circle is all that they know. So when they are in this circle, you know, it's like a person who lives in a house of being abused, right? And that's all that they know. So they never experience of that's not right of the abuse that they are getting. They think that normal. So some people will think that that is normal. So sometimes that I find that when we say treat me how I be treated, how I want to be treated, is that's all that they know. So they think that it is okay. And it is not okay. And no, it is not legal for me to do that towards you.
All righty now. You know, Pastor KL, they're going, whether it's legal or not, you know, we as Christian people, what are we governed by first? Whether it's legal or illegal in this world, you know, is it the right thing to do? Do we have a license to treat people badly because there's no law against it?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, you know, there was no law telling my mama she couldn't smack me, but she did. And it didn't mean that I liked it. You know, even some things that are law, you know, saying we still don't like it. We're still offended by it. You know, and in this Christian walk, you have to say to yourself, you know, they used to say a long time, a big slogan, what would Jesus do? You know, you got to ask yourself, you know, what would the Lord, would God be pleased with the stuff that you are doing? You know what I mean? It's not legal to say certain things to certain folks in the Christian walk. You know what I'm saying? It's not legal to say certain things or do certain things in the Christian walk. You know, you claiming to be a Christian, but yet you're not perfect, but you're not even practicing, you know, to be good or to be perfect.
Oh, goodness gracious. I'll tell you. There's the people who go for an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's the ground they stand on, Pastor Charlene. Does it give us a license to treat people badly?
Mm-hmm. Because you did it to me, I got to get you back. Right? So now we know that we can't do evil for evil. Right? We can't do what somebody else do. We're supposed to show them love. We're supposed to be able to forgive. We're supposed to be able to move forward. But if I'm going to get you back, and people sit in the cut and wait for that. I'm waiting for that opportunity. Oh, you did it to me. Because I was hurt before. And I'm going to wait my former days. Let me say that because I don't want y'all to think I do that now. So you sit in the cut and you wait. And you wait for an opportunity to get them back, you know, and regardless of what they did to you, we always have to be the bigger person. And they do, when you was just saying, Pastor KL, about what would Jesus do, remember when they first was talking about that and everybody had the braces, they had the stickers on the car, you know,
please.
Everybody was saying that, right? So maybe they need to bring that back, but maybe some kind of way they need to bring that back. Because it seems like once after all of that was gone and taking a prayer out, and now I'm going to get you for what you did. Because you stuck your foot out and you saw me coming and I tripped. Oh, you wait. Your turn is about to come, and I'm going to wait for you to get up, and I'm going to do something to you. Is it right? Absolutely wrong. And no, you don't have a license to do that. Be careful for what you do, because God is always watching.
All righty. Oh, Pastor KL, they're going biblical on you. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Does that give you the license to treat someone badly?
Not at all. You know, a lot of times, you know, I'll say we, because even in my former days, we used to use the word to hide or to protect what we wanted to do. And we would do nasty stuff or do things and then have a scripture to kind of back it up. So you can't be too mad at what I said. You know, just as they brought out, you know, the things we were just talking about, you know, they also brought out a saying that says, listen, try Jesus, don't try me. You know what I mean? Which kind of meant, well, listen, I'm not really saved. You know, saying I'm not all the way saved. So, you know, you might as well try God.
Right.
Don't try me. You know what I mean? And these things, these people think they were sweet saved. You know, but how you going to church and how you following God and now you say, listen, okay, I ain't there yet. Go try God. Try God. But yet you want to be the representative. You know, but today, because again we talk about that bed, because I got up on the wrong side of the bed, don't try me today. Because God ain't in me today. So at what point do you divorce God for an hour or for 2 hours? You know, I remember Jesus said, could you not watch for an hour? Because you don't watch for an hour. So at this point, this hour, until I get my coffee, don't try me. Now, God should be your coffee. Because when you wake up, you should be able to drink a cup of Jesus. But until you get your coffee, until you get your Dunkin' Donut, don't try me yet, because I'm not ready for you.
Mm-hmm. And it's true, because you hear people in the office say that. Please don't talk to me before I can get my coffee. Don't talk to me before I get my coffee in. Yeah, people literally say that. And unfortunately, yeah, they walk by that. They walk by that thing. Oh, don't let me take my Holy Ghost off. Is that a coat? I don't understand. You know, it's so weird. I've heard people say, listen, don't let me have to take this Holy Ghost off. I'm like, do you put it on like a jacket and put it, you know, like, what is going on here? You know, it's like, well, and people really feel that way. They really do. Well, here's another thing that they have said. Well, they're not Christians. Does that give you a license to treat somebody badly because they're not Christian? Oh, Lord have mercy. Help us. Pastor Charlene. Oh, God.
That's why they not, because they met you.
Oh, God.
And they said that, I don't want to be like you. You call yourself a Christian, and you don't know how to treat nobody. What happened to the love, to show the love of Christ? So that's why I'm not one, because then I won't be one if I have to be like you. I might as well stay where I am. And no, that doesn't give you the license at all. That's one of the issues that you have in the church. You know, because of that, it's too much of them, one foot in and one foot out, swinging on the fence, don't know which way to go, because they woke up on the wrong side of the fence. How about that?
Absolutely. Pastor KL, you know, they say that, you know, they treat people badly because they're not Christian. So it's okay for me to treat a non-Christian this way, you know, but if you're a Christian, you know, I'll deal with you on another level. What is that?
Yeah, that's crazy. And, you know, just to piggyback off of what Pastor Charlene said, yeah, you know, they're saying I'm not a Christian because if God is producing people like you, I don't want to be like you.
So if you are the example of what a Christian is supposed to be, yeah, I'm not Christian. Because I can't sign up to this fraternity. I can't sign up to this sorority. I can't do this if you're going to be my quote-unquote brother and sister. I can't deal with you. And you're the Christian. You are the example. You know, look how you treat me. But you want me to come to that side because you say it's supposed to be better. No, ma'am. No, sir.
How about the fact that they use "don't throw pearls to the swine"? That verse, does that give you the license to treat somebody badly, Pastor Shaw? Because you're throwing pearls to the swine? Give me 1 second. Let me just get this together.
You know, I ate her pearls. Give her a minute. Give her a minute. She ate the pearls.
My sinus is horrible today. I apologize to everybody. It's okay. You wanna dismiss yourself? We don't wanna push you. Pastor Kale, you take this one first while Pastor Charlene gets herself together.
Yes. This is true. I mean, don't catch the pearls. Why? You know, and we do that often. I mean, often, you know, and it doesn't make you look any better. You know, it doesn't make you sound any better. You are no more anointed. We think that we're better than a lot of folks simply because we wear that Christian title, but we're not.
How do you say, you know, when someone challenges you for treating someone badly, you throw out the verse, you know, "don't throw pearls to the swine." Wow. I can't even imagine that being your response to someone. You know, what are you ultimately saying? You know, it's twisted. And this is coming from, this was a survey of Christians, you know, when they were treating someone badly, that this is actually what you say to justify why you're treating someone in this manner. Are you back with us, Pastor Charlene, or are you resigning for the morning?
I'm trying to hold on. My sinus is terrible. Let me try to stay on. We only have a few more minutes. I apologize. Okay.
We're gonna resign you for the morning. Thank you so much, Pastor Charlene, for your contribution into today's conversation. We so appreciate you. Go rest your voice. We look forward to having you with us tomorrow, God spares. Thank you for pressing your way. All right?
Thank you. Thank you.
Just nod your head. Just nod your head. We love you, Pastor Charlene.
I love
all
you.
All righty.
I'm sorry.
No. All right, Pastor Kale, we're going to wrap this one up. We're going to give you an opportunity to get your little word on today. When they're challenged about treating people badly, they say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Does that give you the license to treat someone badly?
No, not at all. I mean, and the reason why they say that is because they don't want to be exposed, you know, because they're supposed to be, you know, the representative of God. So they don't want to be exposed. So now, if I hurt your feelings, I don't want nobody to know that I hurt your feelings. If I cussed or if I said something wrong or seemingly I did something wrong to you, you know, please don't tell nobody because I'm supposed to be the deacon. I'm supposed to be the assistant pastor. I'm supposed to be the missionary. I walk with a title, you know, but my character
does not follow or accept the title that I have.
All righty now. We have a couple of more excuses that they've used. I have righteous anger. That's why I treat this person in this manner. It's not a license to treat someone badly because you have righteous anger.
Not at all. I mean, first of all, I don't even understand what righteous anger is. I mean, sometimes, again, we esteem ourselves higher than the next person. You know, but the Bible talks about that, you know, at the end, it's all part of life. You know, meaning that your mansion is not going to be bigger than my mansion. You know, what God gives you is not going to be bigger than what he gives me. You know, the anointing that falls on me may be different from the anointing that falls on you. However, it's no greater, you know, because we all have a different people to reach. So you can't try to dummy me down or make me feel bad because you got a Mercedes and I got a Honda. You know, you're not that deeper in God because God uses us on different levels at different times and different places. He'll send me somewhere that you can never go. He'll bring certain people to me that you can never reach. However, so therefore knowing that, you know, you can't be high pompous and you think that you're more righteous than I.
Let's see. We got a couple more, and then we can shut this thing down. What are they saying? Don't take it personal. Don't take it personal. It's just business. It's not personal. Is that a license to treat someone badly?
Not at all. How could I not take it personal? You know, when the fiery darts is coming up against me, how can I not take it personal? Even though the Bible says no weapon formed against you shall prosper. However, I know the weapon has been formed against you. I know that the fiery darts are being shot in my direction. How do I not take that personally? You know, in business, be as men. You know, we need to come together and reason together if you're saying it's business. But if you're coming at me, yes, I'm taking it personal. Why? Because you're coming at me personally.
All righty. Final one. Reasons why excuses Christians use for treating people badly. Hey, I'm not in church. Oh, goodness gracious. Pastor KL, is this a license? Because you're on the outside of the church wall. Is a license for you to treat a person badly?
Well, then, at that point, I would ask, are you having an out-of-body experience? Simply because we are the church. So you don't have to be in the church. You don't have to be in the building to conduct yourself as a Christian. Listen, you do the most work when you're outside the church. Because that's when people see your lifestyle. The people in the church should be already saved. They should already know God. They should already have a relationship. But your job is to go out and compel the world. You know, your job is to go out and let your life ever so shine. So if when you get outside, then your light diminishes or it dims, then you are no greater on the inside. You know, if you can come outside and then all of a sudden, There's no flag. There's no nothing that shows Jesus or law or God in you. Then you might as well not go to church because your work begins outside of the building because you're supposed to walk as the church.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we thank you, Pastor KL, for your contribution into today's conversation and carrying us the rest of the way. And we pray you have a blessed day.
You as well.
Thank you. All right, there we go. Treating people badly. I never thought that anybody would ever give an excuse as a Christian to treat a person badly. We're going to take this time right now to go before the Lord, holding hands and holding hearts.
Ah, dear Heavenly Father, our Father of yesterday, our Father of today, and our Father of tomorrow, we give you thanks, oh God, because you've been so gracious, so generous to lend us breath to go through this moment. Thank you, dear God. We're grateful, God, because you continually just bless us despite what we do, despite how we behave. We just got finished talking about Christian people, people who call themselves Christians, God, and who make excuses for treating people badly, not apologizing, but making an excuse, feeling like they have a license to mistreat people, God. And Lord, I pray that this world would take a turn. The Christian community would take a turn, that we don't look like everybody else, that we don't act like everyone else, that we don't speak like everyone else. And Lord, we pray that as you just rain your blessings down on us, that we would become appreciative of the love you give us despite who we are, despite our disobedience, despite our nastiness towards one another, despite our shortcomings. And Lord, we're talking about just blatant disobedience, to be okay with mistreating people, but yet we call ourselves those who walk as though Christ walks. What can we ultimately say to you? What can we ultimately say to you that would excuse such bad behavior, such a bad attitude? God, and we're just asking that you just wash us. Let your spirit just rain down over us, God, that we would be washed whiter than snow, that we would just hear ourselves, that we would pay attention to the things we say and do much better than we always have. Oh, Lord, I thank you. Because there's so many times you could have just wiped us from the face of this earth. And I think about how we just continually reject you, your will, and your way. But yet, you are still gracious to us, God. Lord, we had to switch tips. Don't fall in love with convenience. And Lord, we're asking you to help us with this walk. Help us to stand firm on your foundation. Not what the world expects. Not that we want to be a part of the world. Not because we're enjoying what the world has to offer or the way things look or the way we look. You know, we want to be an influencer. We want to, you know, have people, you know, snapping pictures, and we want our selfies, you know, to make the difference, or our quick quote for the day and quotes for the week, and, you know, who our crowd is and whose church we belong to. God, I pray that all of that stuff be laid aside and that we would pick up your written word and make the declaration that there is nothing will let come before we serve you wholeheartedly. That relationship with you would become priority in our life. That we would learn to love you more and more. And in that loving you, accepting your command, accepting your word, accepting the things that you have given us to do and to not do, God. Thank you. I thank you, God, for hearing your word so clearly, God. And my prayer is that as you have me host this show each and every day, God,
that you would continue to clean me up so that I can be the face of your kingdom, that people can imitate me as I imitate Christ, that no matter what the struggle is, God, I don't give up, that everyone in these 48 countries who are listening, who's listening to the Due Time crew, would disconnect from this show feeling so blessed, feeling so loved. All the attention is on you as you listen. That God has got us listening for a word is what they say to themselves, and they must tune in. We thank you, God, for using us. We thank you, God, for choosing us. And we understand, God, that this is a blessed privilege, that there are people who are just silent because they have no platform. But God, I pray that we continue to position ourselves to be used every single day, knowing that at any given moment, this can all be taken away from us. And considering that we don't know, we have no idea of what is going to keep us or get us into the kingdom or what's going to keep us out of it. That everything that you do that helps this earthly kingdom is important and urgent in our life. Oh, thank you, God, for the awareness. And, Lord, we're just here humbly serving you, praying that we're a blessing to your people and that you keep us on this road. Thank you, Father. Thank you for choosing me, including me, and using me today. I pray that everything that has come from our mouths today would be acceptable in your sight. And for everyone who has heard your word today, that something in them has changed. Something reached their spirit that said, I can't live like this anymore. That everything I do matters to God. And we thank you for this opportunity, God. Oh, every time we inhale and exhale, that's another opportunity. So we thank you. We thank you for your loving kindness. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Wow. You know, giving God thanks for, you know, I always say to you all, God snatches me up in my collar. And, you know, I think about the people who have complained about, you know, every time you talk, I feel like you're talking about me or you're talking to me or, you know, somebody stepped on their toes in church when they were given a sermon or given the word. And do you realize how much of a blessing that is? That God could actually be talking to you? That he decided to give you truth opposed to leaving you in darkness? Do you realize what kind of a blessing that is? This world, we look at these news stories. Every day we do news stories. I do at least 4 news stories a day. And every day we see the condition of this world. Even today, for someone to even feel like they've got to prove a point to another human and make such an unwise decision, such a silly decision, and think it's okay that I'm already walking around with an ankle bracelet on. Like they're not going to know that I was here. You know, can you imagine walking around with that level of ignorance and you're complaining and you're literally complaining about what God does with you? You don't want to hear from God unless it's something that you are accepting of. It doesn't matter. I only want to walk in the way that I want to walk. I only want to do in the way that I want to do. There's something wrong with that. You know, I remember my grandmother, she was, when I tell you she was a staunch, she didn't budge. When God gave her something, she didn't budge unless down the line God gave her an understanding that was new. That when she read a scripture, she understood it differently, or God gave her something differently, and she had no problem undoing and now getting on the path that God wanted her on. Because that's why the scripture looks the way it does. And it means, no matter how many times you read the scripture, it means something different. Because based on where you are at the time when you read that scripture, it's going to speak to you in a certain way. And we've read the same scripture over and over and over again. And how many times have we been like, oh my gosh, is this what it's been saying all this time? Wow. It was nothing for her to turn it around. And she would tell us. She would tell us, you know, I got a different understanding. God has dealt with me differently. We have to change this. And it was nothing. And I give God thanks because it was the foundation in which I was given. And I thank God that I don't have a problem with it. Because some people, like, they don't want to change. And I don't understand how you claim to be God's people, but yet it's okay for you not to want to budge. That you customize what you hear and what you don't hear and what you do and what you don't do. You know, you have to be able to get a word from God, written word, verbal word, and be able to adjust. Because God is trying to readjust you. How do we have this prayer? God mold me. God shape me. God use me. And then when he starts doing it, you all twist it. And we had someone on the prayer line the other day. And she said something about, you know, praying for God, you know, to be under God's way and God's will. And I was like, girl, get ready. Get ready to do what God tells you to do and make the adjustment when you need to. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through the day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph starting off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for giving us some great word today. We pray that Pastor Charlene is doing better and that she would be able to continue her walk as she talks and gives the word of the Lord. Thank you for hanging out with us today, and we pray that you don't miss this opportunity to give God your life or to strengthen that relationship with God right now, because later is not promised to any of us. Until tomorrow, where it's Wow Wednesday, God's fish, I love you.